scattered thunderstorms, and then storms becoming more likely Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Finally, we may get some of the rain that we've been needing. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Now at Nukes, the Express Market with freshly prepared goodness meals to go. Grab-and-go proteins and house-made sauces. Pick up anytime or place order on the Nukes app for curbside delivery. You'll be the hero at your next dinner. Nukes, 7880 Vaughn Road.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. The state of Alabama has turned over more documents to the Department of Justice as it continues its investigation of the state's prison system. The Justice Department says these documents are related to allegations of excessive force and abuse by prison staff. A Prattville woman has pleaded guilty to aggravated child abuse after authorities say her son was naked and chained up. 32-year-old Danielle Martin pleaded guilty last week. An anonymous tip led investigators to the child abuse case last September. And a judge has denied bail for a man charged with killing two Dothan teens in 1999. Coley McCraney was arrested in March for the shooting deaths of J.B. Beasley and Tracy Hollett. Court records show the case will go to a grand jury this month. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Hey, this is Randy and Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center.
Randy, why do you plant a garden?
Well, I raise a garden with my family every year, and it's just kind of in my blood.
Well, what if you don't know how to raise a garden?
Well, that's when you come to Prattville Farm Center, because we have the seed and the supplies and the knowledge to help you whether you're an old hand or just starting out.
So come get your family garden started today at Prattville Farm Center.
Visit Prattville Farm Center at 1154 South Memorial Drive and like them on Facebook.
Hi, folks, this is Rick Clark with Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. I'd like to take just a minute to talk to you about our experience with Blue Water Broadcasting. One of the hot topics in our staff meetings is spending advertising dollars. If your company or firm is anything like Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, those dollars are limited, so you have to spend them wisely. That's why we choose Blue Water Broadcasting. Our marketing analysis has proven consistently that spending advertising dollars with Blue Water Broadcasting has contributed significantly to our bottom line. And for that, Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing is truly grateful. So, if you want to spend your advertising dollars wisely, choose Blue Water Broadcasting and see the difference.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The city of Virginia Beach is in mourning. On Friday, a municipal engineer shot 12 people dead inside a government building before he was killed in a shootout with police.
New developments in the search for a Connecticut mom of five who vanished more than a week ago. Police announced the arrest of her estranged husband and his girlfriend.
Out of North Carolina, where a 17-year-old was badly injured in what one park ranger called a shark attack.
Four people were hurt when a cruise ship slammed into a dock in Venice.
The British newspaper The Sun pressed Mr. Trump about comments Meghan Markle made about him.
She said she'd move to Canada if you got elected.
What can I say? No, I didn't know that she was nasty.
On the campaign trail, some scary moments at an event where Senator Kamala Harris was speaking. A man rushed the stage, grabbed a microphone right out of her hand.
Puts up another three. Shot won't go. That'll do it. Golden State has tied the finals. And this best of seven series is tied at one game apiece.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM. Dan Morris Show on a Monday. Starting your week out right. A couple of reminders here. First time callers need to let Joey, the producer, know. We'll get your name in for the $50 gift card from Fresh Market. Then any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift baskets. What's in that gift basket? $60 worth of goodies that you put in it from Sweet Creek Farm Market. A great place, by the way. They've got wonderful cantaloupes. Their peaches are in from Chilton County. They are spectacular. And it's just everything down there is good. Everything. Oh, they got the corn. God, we had corn this weekend. And it's not quite the Silver Queen level yet, but it is a very sweet corn. So you need to take advantage and go down to Sweet Creek Farm Market. They may still even have some strawberries. Let me bring in an old friend of mine to the show who's a candidate for District 74, Jay King. How you doing, big guy?
Pretty good. How's everything going, Dan?
Everything is great. Now, this audience hadn't seen you in a long time. Matter of fact, you used to be lieutenant. But you're no longer a lieutenant, are you?
No, sir. I currently hold the rank of police major.
Major? Man, moved up two. I like that. So, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born here in Montgomery, Maxwell Air Force Base. Graduated high school from Hopeful High School. Went straight off into military, served in Alabama Army National Guard from December of 90 to December of 97. Was hired by the Montgomery Police Department in 1994. The past 2.5 years, I've served as a, prior to being promoted to major, I was a captain serving as the CLIA liaison for the Montgomery Police Department. And basically what we did was we contracted with CLIA, which is a commission on accreditation for law enforcement agencies.
Right.
And we revamped our whole regulations manual based on the standards set by CLIA and best practice along with current law. And basically rewrote our rule book to govern the actions.
How much influence did the general have with that?
You talking about general public or general?
General Sam's. Yeah, General Sam. He's the only general I know connected with MPD.
As far as General Sam's, he supported us throughout the 3-year process. The general public, we actually had a public forum meeting where the public was invited to meet with some of the CLIA assessors to address any concerns that the public had. But that was right before our accreditation back in May.
Okay, so you're a major within MPD. You have an administrative job, an administrative oversight job. Tell me how, if you become the representative for District 74, how does being a representative in your role in MPD, how do those two things work together?
Well, number one, before I even got in the race, I checked to make sure that I was good with the Ethics Commission, still serving as a police officer and serving as a representative, and there's no conflict there, so that's fine. So basically, I just have to either adjust my hours or take leave time while the House is in session.
And considering you've been there for how many years?
Next month will be 25 years of service.
Man, so you've got some leave time saved up, don't you?
I do. I could probably take off for about 6 to 9 months and still get paid.
I like that. Well, you can just take off 3 days a week for
12 weeks.
And yeah, 12, 14, depending on if they throw a special session in there. So tell me why you feel you're uniquely qualified to be District 74's representative.
Well, if you look at the basic fundamentals and responsibilities of state government, you have the justice system, which deals with the courts and the correction system. You have public safety, which is law enforcement, education, infrastructure, and industry, along with making sure you comply with federal mandates. When it comes to the justice system, I've been in the administrative division since 2002. So for the past 16 years, I've interacted with not only municipal court, but circuit, district, grand jury, and also worked some with U.S. Marshal Service dealing with the federal court. So I think I have a unique perspective that allows me to work in that aspect. Also, part of my job with CLIA was to rewrite regulations dealing with the correctional facility we have because we run our own city jail. So when it comes to some impacts that laws have on how a jail runs and some of the things that need to be addressed within our correction system, I believe, again, that I have a unique perspective that none of my opponents are going to have.
Okay. What are some things, let's say you win the nomination and you win the general election, what are some things that are in your wheelhouse that you want to get done as a representative?
Well, number one of the many critical things that face law enforcement is the fact that mental health has been drastically defunded. And those people were basically put out on the street. And not just in Montgomery, but nationwide, you've seen on the news where officers come in contact with people in crisis, and sometimes an officer has a split second to respond to that situation, and we don't know the person's history. So one of the things I'd like to do in the legislature is to work to provide for adequate mental health to where police officers aren't the ones that are having to be the ones that interact with them, that they actually get the help and support they need.
Well, it's interesting that you said that mental health is a big issue to me. And when I look at other shootings, I don't know if you heard me say this earlier, it's either a mental health issue or it's a terrorist issue. And there's so much of a mental health component that's happening in all the shootings recently.
Well, right now, like I said, police officers nationwide are having to be trained on how to identify someone that's in crisis.
Well, here's interesting is that what's supposed to happen in the state of Alabama, there's a law actually on the books, but they don't do it, is that your police officer is supposed to call a public health, mental health person, and that mental health person is supposed to meet you with the person, and they do a street-level assessment. But nobody ever shows up, so the officer ends up doing it, or y'all call the probate judge and says, here's what the situation is. They go, yeah, go ahead and take him for 72 hours. And then the doctor may let him go because he's been there five times before, type thing. I mean, it's really a bad situation.
Yes, sir. And like I said earlier, that police officers sometimes have a split-second decision on how to approach a situation. And it's totally different when you know someone's in crisis. That person's intent is not to harm a police officer or harm the public. They're in crisis.
Right.
Versus someone that's just an out-and-out criminal that wants to wreak havoc and shoot and kill and do all the bad things.
Get a bad guy.
So if we were able to get mental health back to where it needs to be and be able to provide those services for the people that need them, it would take a lot of burden and hazardous situations out of the realm of law enforcement.
And so mental health to you is a major issue, and what are some other big items that you'd like to try to address? And I'm with you on the mental health.
Being from the law enforcement background and knowing what it takes to recruit someone into law enforcement now, that is one of the things that I definitely want to address. We've got to basically fix the image of law enforcement and make it to where your everyday citizen has a good working relationship, a respect for law enforcement, and the only people that need to worry about the police coming after them are criminals. And it's going
to
take...
What would you do to try to get a greater level of respect by the citizens? And do you think it's low now?
I don't think it's low because everybody I've talked to has been real positive, but I think nationwide there's a perspective based on, you know, what you see on the news every day, and it's always the bad things that you see on the news, and we need to change that. We need to do something to turn it around to where the good things that law enforcement do is, you know, out there in the public. I mean, the Montgomery Police Department, just within our department, we have interaction with the youth. We have a boxing program. We have a junior police academy. We have our Explorers program. We have officers in all of our schools that are inside the city. I mean, we have community policing that goes out and interacts with the public. We have a lot of great programs that it's just not in the limelight. It's things that we do.
Do you think they're working?
I do.
Because I think what Sheriff Cunningham does with the Easter egg hunts and the hospital visits and things like that, and Christmas is just outstanding.
And the people that are the ones that are exposed to that positive impact are the ones that already support law enforcement because they're already following Sheriff Cunningham on Facebook. They're already following the police department on Facebook. We've had a drastic increase in social media presence to get the word out on how the police department wants to do.
Well, tell me how we turn that into legislation as you as a representative would do that.
As far as providing law enforcement officers with the tools they need and the protections they need to be able to do their job. One of the things that's frustrating for me as a law enforcement officer and the people that I work with is responding to a call and being restricted on how much we can help a victim because of the way certain laws are written. I mean, there are countless laws on the books that are good laws in theory, but how do you enforce them? Like the move-over law saves lives if people do it. But if a car doesn't move over...
So you think that was a good piece of legislation?
Yes, providing providing safety for the officer and for the officer's contact, the person that they have pulled over, if people comply with it. Thing about it is if an officer's out on a traffic stop and a car comes flying by and they don't move over, they don't slow down, and it creates a hazard, the officer can't do anything. The officer can't write them a ticket because they're already out on a traffic stop. But if there was, you know, an amendment to that legislation that says, you know, if the dash cam gets the tag number off the car, then an investigation can be conducted to identify the person that committed that traffic infraction. But again, with misdemeanor violations and with traffic infractions, the officer has to witness it, and they have to, you know, be able to pull that person over right then so that they can't say, oh, that wasn't me driving the car.
And the libertarian may pop up out of me here, but do you think that we should change a law that it's not a eyes on crime type situation with an officer that you're using more cameras?
There are things that I would say you could do that with. I don't want to go whole Big Brother thing where the government gets
Please
in.
Please don't do that, Joe.
where the government gets
Joey
in.
Joey and I are just way too much about liberty.
But you have to think. There's things that should be able to protect you. Say you have a Ring doorbell on your house, mm-hmm. and your lawnmower's right there under your carport, and you see someone walk up into your carport, grab your lawnmower, walk off.
Right.
I can't make an arrest.
Right.
But do you think...
Well, but you can go and interview this suspect if he's known to you, and then if he's dumb enough to confess to you, then you've got him.
But you as a victim, don't you think you should have more rights than the person who committed that crime?
No,
I didn't mean to stop you.
No. I think, you know, my difficulty is we're moving into kind of a new Brave New World type stuff. The Big Brother aspect really scares me.
Me as well. I like,
I mean,
my rights.
About
I like
bona fide crime that is at a high misdemeanor or felony level. I think video should have an impact on that. But I just get worried, Jay, that they're going to go, you know, we got this video of Danny Morris. And we're tired of his big mouth.
And that's where I think it needs to be a legitimate discussion and identify, you know, there's got to be a balance to where you can protect the victim but still not encroach on anyone's civil liberties.
I have to go to a break, Jay. I want to come back and ask you what committees you think you would like to be on, asset forfeiture, and some other questions right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Time, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team-building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to get started making money flipping houses right here in Montgomery? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll be introduced to our three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Stan Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Montgomery area who want to learn how to get started making money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Montgomery is a perfect market for my system, and this week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where we'll share how to get started making money flipping houses and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Fan's Workshop, text your five-digit zip code to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your five-digit zip code to 82,000 right now, because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. Just text your zip code to 82,000.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Dan Morris Show.
Ah, yes. 272-9228. That's where we are.
Sweet memories.
J. King, candidate for District 74 in the House.
Let
Major
King. By.
I've known him for so long. I knew him back when he was lieutenant.
Actually, you met me when I was a sergeant. Because I was a sergeant when I ran for mayor.
Oh,
because
okay.
I laughed when Mayor Strange promoted me to lieutenant, because I'm like, I was expecting, you know, third shift at City Landfill for running against him, but I got promoted to lieutenant.
He's a good guy. He's a really good guy. Let's talk about the committees you'd like to be on.
One of the things that I want to get involved in, and it's from a side note, is the commission on, or the A-Post. A-Post is what sets the standards for law enforcement officers. And my experience working with CALEA and seeing how best practice based on current law along with case law changes every year, I think that's something that I would like to be a little bit more involved in.
So does that translate to Judicial Committee?
Seeing how we have some issues with more judges passing legislation through case law than we have legislators passing laws on the floor of the state house. Yeah.
What are some other committee or areas that you'd like to be in if you were to be selected the representative for District 74?
I really want to look at a couple of things that would deal with business and development. Because 74, if you've ever looked at the way 74 is designed and the way businesses have moved from its western border all the way out to Chantilly.
Right.
And each time a business moves, it leaves a vacant building instead of revitalizing or remodeling the existing location. And basically all you're doing is you're making it to where someone has to drive a little bit further to go to the same store. But if there's something that the state...
Why do you think that's happening?
I don't know, because there's... Montgomery's a great city, and there's no one single spot in Montgomery that I would say is more crime-ridden than any other.
You wouldn't say that?
No. From the simple fact that I see the ComStat reports
right
every day. We have a meeting four times a week with the command staff, and things can be stolen out of your front yard on Winona Avenue just as quick as they can be stolen from your yard in Copperfield. Now, there's different types of crimes, of course.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are not leaving expensive things in their lawn in Regency Park, let's say.
But true enough.
Because they've already been stolen.
But like I said, I'd like to do something with development and ensuring that, number one, you have to address crime. And like I said, the only way you're going to do that is put police officers on the street. For the past, I guess, year since I've been working as a major over the administrative division, I'm over our training and recruiting sections.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great captain that is over our police academy. His staff do an excellent job of training officers and putting them out on the street. And then I have an awesome lieutenant that is over our recruiting bureau. We do what we can. And like I said, to get officers on the street and in uniforms and to use Chief Finley's phrase, you know, let's put boots on the ground, cops on the dot.
Right.
So, like I said, there are committees that I think would allow me to have more of an ability to provide firsthand accounts of things and how the laws are written and how they can be enforced to address certain things.
How big of a role do you think education plays in what you're describing in District 74, people moving out towards the east and kind of that urban blight that gets created? How much do you think education is having a factor of that?
Education has a big impact on any business because you have to have an educated workforce in order to work in your business. For a brief time, I served as an acting captain over our Special Services Bureau, mm-hmm. Our section. And one of the things that I was over as a Special Services Commander was our School Enforcement Bureau. Seeing the issues that our officers faced on a daily basis inside our schools really makes me want to work with the school board to address not only the upkeep of the buildings, because if you have a good learning environment, good structure, and something like that to learn in, your ability to focus is a little bit better. Not to mention the disruptiveness of some of the people that are in some of our schools. I don't like the way that MPS will keep a child that is constantly disruptive until the point to where they count for funding and then they kick them out.
Oh, yeah, the October surprise. Once they get to that number, it's adios, amigos. But until that point, we're going to keep that head in the classroom.
And that causes so many problems. Number one, you shouldn't keep them in the traditional classroom until that point, because if they're being disruptive for that whole time from the beginning of school until October, you're creating a disservice to the other kids in the class that want to learn. So I believe in a true alternative school program where you identify a facility to send children that are disruptive in class, keep them in class, keep them, you know, in the education process, and have them earn their way back. When I was in high school, if you got in trouble, you went to alternative school, you still did your schoolwork, you still showed up for school every day.
It wasn't a babysitting service.
Correct, and you need some dedicated and truly aggressive instructors that can handle those type of students.
Let me give you the Dan Morris 2-minute drill on this thing. I think we have a major problem with education in our community. District 74 has a big chunk of that that's out there. And one of the problems is I look at government, I look at the federal side, the state side, the county, city, and kind of tear it down. In the state, we treat Montgomery, Alabama just like we treat Shelby County. Montgomery County and Shelby County are the exact same under the education rules of our state.
But you can't do that.
Exactly.
And be productive.
And what we're, because of the long arm of AEA trying to treat everybody the same, I think some people need to get together and think of every area as a different area and come up with laws that take things like tenure and different things that are slowing the Montgomery public school system down and say, okay, Montgomery public school system, we're going to put you under a different set of rules here. Here are your rules, and the state's going to sign off on it because we've got oversight over you, but we're going to free you up a little bit. Would you be open to that?
I would, because each area is going to be different. Look at Madison, Alabama. Madison, Alabama has two of the top seven ranked schools in the state. So, I mean, there are programs at work.
Yeah, and the interesting part is they're not magnet schools. Where
correct.
The ones in Montgomery that are
top.
Don't
even get me started on magnet schools. I do not believe in magnet schools. In high school, when I was in high school, I went from general math straight to algebra and did not have to change where I went to school. I skipped pre-algebra, but that's beside the point. I think that if you have your magnet schools reintegrated with your traditional schools, it would allow your traditional students to have something to motivate them and to excel. And you remove the disciplinary issues, put them in an alternative school, and have them earn their way back. And if they don't earn their way back, they still stay in school the whole time throughout the school year. Because when the school system kicks these kids out for suspension or whatever, their parents are at work, they're at home, are supposed to be at home.
Or they're in the streets.
And now they're in the streets, and we are faced with increased vehicle break-ins and increased residential break-ins.
Welcome to Montgomery.
So it shouldn't be, okay, the school system kicking them out on the street, now it's a police problem. No, keep them in school, have them in a more disciplined alternative school environment, and have them educated. Montgomery has to have an educated workforce to bring business and industry here.
Well, they need a good education system to bring people here. I mean, if you cannot get into a magnet school and you're going to have to pay for a private school, it's going to cost you a lot of money. Let me go to a break. Dan Morris Show with Jay King in the house. Going to be back. 272-9228 right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
At AutoZone, we're all about giving you more ways to get more done. Like the AutoZone Rewards Program. Members get more, like a $20 reward every time they spend $20 or more five times. Got more to do? We've got more for you to do it. Looking to protect your engine? Regular oil and oil filter change is the best way to keep your engine running strong and running long. And if you're looking to do the job yourself, AutoZone can help. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
You're that famous actress. You must travel so much. What's the best site for hotel deals?
Hilton.com.
No. One with crazy savings.
Hilton.com. With their price match guarantee, if you find a better rate, they match it and take 25% off.
No, one with lots of options.
Hilton.com has 16 top hotel brands. Hampton, Hilton Garden Inn, Waldorf Astoria.
Hilton.com. You should totally do their commercials.
Expect better. Expect Hilton.
You're good.
I know. Thank you.
Applicable terms and conditions at Hilton.com.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. They had lunch with Queen Elizabeth and tea with Prince Charles. Next, the President and Mrs. Trump are the guests of honor in a big state dinner in London.
Some senior political figures here are boycotting the meal. Britain's opposition leader saying President Trump shouldn't be honored with a state visit. Moments before Air Force One landed in England, the President on Twitter calling the Mayor of London a stone-cold loser after the Mayor said some of the President's policies were abhorrent and offensive.
Fox's Simon Owen in London. Back in D.C., there are talks with Mexican officials hoping to stop President Trump from imposing new tariffs on Mexican imports. Foreign Minister Marcelo Ebrard.
The tariffs could be very costly for the U.S. economy, the consumers in the United States, and the Mexican economy.
President Trump wants the Mexican government to do more about illegal immigration into the U.S. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The week starts out quiet, but some much-needed rain later in the week, and our fingers are crossed for today. Sunshine dominates again, another dry day with a high around 93. Partly cloudy, low 68 tonight. Tomorrow's high about 94, mainly dry again. Widely scattered storms pop up Wednesday, another warm day. And then the rain prospects get a little bit better on Thursday with scattered thunderstorms, and then storms becoming more likely Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Finally, we may get some of the rain that we've been needing. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Interested in making some spring renovations? Check out a home equity line of credit from ASC Credit Union. ASC Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASC. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. ASC Credit Union, 9 locations, or online at yourasecu.com.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Major Jay King in the House, candidate for District 74, House District 74. Tell the people the boundaries of your district.
It's sort of oddly shaped, but if you
it is indeed.
But if you can picture
nothing like an interstate to kind of divide everything up.
If you can picture being at Atlanta Highway and Ann Street, and then following Ann Street down to 85, taking 85 over to like Bell Road, and then although there's not an exit ramp there, going down Bell Road to Vaughan, and then taking Vaughan over to like Halcyon, and then shooting up over to Chantilly. Then taking Atlanta Highway all the way back to Eastern Boulevard, encompassing East Elm Mall, going up Eastern Boulevard to Congressman Dickinson, coming down to Federal, Federal back to Atlanta Highway and Ann.
It's like a bug splat on his windshield. Let's talk about asset forfeitures. Are you for asset forfeitures and where you're taking that money that is being seized and using it for grants and things like that for the state giving to different jurisdictions?
I'm for asset forfeiture, like on the system that I've interacted with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how the state operates, but since I've been with Montgomery Police Department, we've taken possession of things that we then put in use to fight crime that were used in the commission of crime. And right. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. But when somebody, for example, there's a person here in Montgomery who had gone down to Biloxi with a friend, had a car problem, rented a car, got stopped, and had $10,000 worth of cash, was asked, do you have any cash? Because it seems drug dealers will use rental cars. Didn't know this. So he was kind of, he was, so he got ID'd because somehow they knew it was a rental car, stopped him, asked him if he had cash, had a drug to, or cash. He said, no drugs, I have cash. I just won in Biloxi. And showed him the little receipt thing that you get from Biloxi. They seized the $10,000 with the cash, a little under $10,000 with the cash.
I would have a problem with that.
Good.
That's not money that was obtained through criminal enterprise. That's money that he went and gambled and just happened to hit the right number or whatever.
Yeah. Nothing like good old Mobile County.
The thing about that is you can't pull over a car just for it being a rental car, so there had to have been something else there.
Oh, so they said there had to be something else.
Well, and
if you're doing it right.
If you're doing it right, that there should be something else there. And there would be nothing wrong with basically saying, okay, you have this $10,000. We're going to take this, verify it, and then release it back to you. Because, you know, there's a way to falsify paperwork, and you might not be able to call Biloxi right then and say, yeah, he just won that. But taking it, being able to verify it, and returning it back to the person, I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem with him winning money and the state taking it from him and keeping it.
And the county in this particular case.
Yeah. Like I said, legally obtained items, I don't have a problem with that going back to the owner. It's the items that are obtained through criminal enterprise, you know, drug running. You know, we're always seizing cars where they create these compartments to transport drugs or transport money. And then, yeah, I don't have a problem with the state taking the car, taking the drugs, taking the money, destroying the drugs, and using the car to facilitate the next arrest.
Aaliyah had all these different units, and then Robert Bentley, one of my total unfavorite governors, he's the Woodrow Wilson of Alabama. Joey knows how I feel about Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, yes.
But he basically unified Aaliyah, and it seems to have been a total disaster, where he kind of saw the state were going to save $1 billion. Lying Ted Cruz, lying Robert Bentley. Tell me, with your background and being if you were a legislator, what would you do to try to remedy some of the problems with Aaliyah and some of the other different departments that are out there, such as Game and Wildlife and Marine Patrol and things like that?
Yeah. Most of the people that work for Aaliyah now are probably retired MPD officers, so I know just about all of them.
You know a bunch of them, huh? Like Joe.
But I've actually had the opportunity to talk to friends that work in Aaliyah, and it was sold one way, and it was a good concept. It didn't work out the way they thought it was going to work out. It hasn't saved the money that they thought it was going to save.
Darn, I hate it when that happens.
Being able to go back would cause some aches and pains, but if it's in the best interest of the state, I think it's something we need to really consider.
Department of Corrections is a big issue in the state, and something that you as a legislator will probably be addressing if you were there. Tell me what you see, because, you know, Robert Bentley again. Oh, God, I can't even believe I mentioned his name twice in one show. He was going to come up with a concept of three super prisons that were there, one in North, one in Central, one in South Alabama, and then keeping some of our other stuff out there. Tell me what you think about our current Department of Corrections. What do you think the impact of not having a good DOC is on law enforcement on the local level, county and city? And what are some things that you can bring to the table to help remedy those?
Okay. First, the people that work in DOC are good men and women that, you know, try to do the best they can with what they have. One of the first issues that DOC needs to address is, like I mentioned earlier, is mental health. You have a lot of people that are in the correctional system, mm-hmm, that need to be in a mental health system versus a correctional system. That would reduce your population if you got people that should be.
So you're talking about incarcerating them in a mental health facility.
Getting them the treatment they need and the help they need.
Okay.
Number two, I have an awesome coworker that used to work in DOC, and we've had lengthy conversations about the construction and the viability of having some major new facilities built, right, that are modern, filled with technology to offset the shortage of manpower in DOC. Like I said, it's more of a conversation than we can have. But I do believe that we need new facilities. I know that we have some outdated facilities. I know that we have overcrowding in facilities, and both of those can be addressed. It's just going to take funding, which is number one. And
where would you come up with the money for that?
And that's something you have to.
We can do a bake sale. What do you think? Cut grass pay for a prison?
Yeah. I don't know if that would exactly give us the right dollar.
You don't
amount
think it would give us the big bucks?
No. I mean, even if you made the cookies, I don't know if we.
I mean, they're talking, you know, in the $500 million range here.
And people can throw out all kind of numbers. What I would like to do is sit down and actually look at and real research.
Being in law enforcement, are you for the critical mass concept of prisons, where you have a core that is housing your most violent, and then as you go outside the core, you're getting less and less, you know, violent type people?
And I'm an oddity. I will say that up front.
You are.
But the thing,
I'm glad that you confess that. You just got votes with that.
The thing about it is I look at the correctional system as it has a responsibility to, number one, rehabilitate those that can, and number two, keep the violent people that can't be rehabilitated away from our families. I don't like the fact that our prisons are set up to, in a situation where you have someone who never did anything violent is now put in an environment where they learn how to be a better criminal.
Yeah, they go to prisoner school. I mean, they go to criminal school.
Yeah. And it needs to be more rehabilitation and segregation. Segregation from the standpoint of you don't want to put someone who went to prison for a nonviolent offense, and now you're putting them in an event, in a situation where they have to become violent to defend themselves because of the lack of manpower and the ability to keep populations separated and antagonists away from a victim. Because even someone who goes to prison can be victimized. I have countless friends that work in the investigations part of DOC, and we talk about issues all the time. But like I said, I think the correction system should do what it's supposed to do, and that's rehabilitate and separate those violent people from the nonviolent ones.
Newsletter 93.1, Dan Moore Show, Major J. King in the House, candidate for District 74 elections in 2 weeks from
tomorrow? Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Time flies when you're having fun. Going to be back with Jay and your calls right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. Let's be honest, most of us have already given up on our New Year's resolutions, but it's not too late to get your finances in shape. Make the call that will change it all, 567-4223. You don't believe me? Listen up. A teacher in Millbrook was able to pay off $30,000 worth of credit card debt by refinancing with Alabama Home Mortgage. And get this, her monthly mortgage payment went down. With a little tutoring, now her mortgage ranks top of the class. You heard me right. That money you've been looking for may very well be right there in your home. Quit making those minimum monthly payments on credit cards. It's time to pay them off for good. Call my team today at 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama Home Mortgage. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
This is where we are. Let's talk money and different issues that can be affecting money. We just recently had two failures. One was on the medical marijuana issue. Where are you on the medical marijuana concept as far as the state and doing some legislation? Uh-oh.
That's actually one of the first questions I was asked as soon as I announced. It's like, where are you at on the legalization of recreational marijuana and medical marijuana?
They're two different subjects, right?
Yeah, okay. They are. And to me, even on a medical standpoint, I mean, you take a pill or a liquid for everything else, right? If you got a cough, you can take a DayQuil, NyQuil, or you can take cough syrup.
Or scotch.
To me, if you're going to look at medical marijuana, it needs to be from a pharmacy. It needs to be in pill form. The ingredients that you're supposed to be getting the benefit from should be in pill form. Saying that something's going to be medical marijuana and then giving people free reign to smoke a joint, I don't agree with.
So you're, any marijuana bill, any medical marijuana bill that you do would have no grow-your-own component to it. Who would be the dispensary for, in your mind, of medical marijuana?
If you have a pharmaceutical company that wants to put out medicine that is supposed to treat whatever marijuana is supposed to treat, then they would be the ones doing the
dispensing.
The dispensing through, you know.
But you would see that pharmacy. In the form of a pill versus the form of a pot that you'd smoke.
Yeah. You can complain about having back pains all day long. I still don't think you should be smoking a joint.
How about if you're receiving chemo?
Again, the medical aspect of it can be done in either a pill form or a liquid form. That doesn't mean you should be smoking a joint.
I've never seen a pill form of marijuana for chemo, but
what's the element?
THC.
But what I'm saying is, what's the difference in having the element from the marijuana put in a pill form versus
what's in absorption factor and things like that? But
it costs.
In cost. Yeah, the synthetic. We got to be careful of the synthetic stuff. Go ahead.
There would be a huge problem with being able to enforce the law. Again, when you write a law, you have to look at the fairness of it, the defendability of it in court, and the enforceability of it on the street. And if you write a bill that says, okay, medical marijuana is now legal in the state of Alabama, you're driving down the road, you're smoking a joint, he's driving down the road, he's smoking a joint, which one of y'all have the prescription? And why are either one of you behind the wheel of a car smoking a joint?
Well, it's whoever has the prescription is the one that does not get arrested.
So
Joey,
mean,
I've got the prescription.
But the thing about it is you have to look at the enforcement.
I'm in absolute agreement. It's a much more complex subject than people can play around with.
Seriously, that is the first question I got. Somebody sent me all the problems with education and in law enforcement and corrections, your first question is, where do you stand on recreational marijuana? Or where do you stand on medical marijuana?
Yeah, medical is different than recreational for the state of Alabama as far as getting that done. But
I just think there's problems that you would have to seriously figure out how you're going to address.
No, I agree. Let me tell you, government is a very complicated instrument. And one of the things I talk about on this show is that we have so much of what I call low-grade ore down in the House and Senate. People who don't have a clue what's going on. I love Dimitri. Very, very nice guy, restaurateur, just the friendliest guy you've ever seen. His knowledge of government wasn't that great.
Yeah. Well, I don't agree with that because I think he did a lot on the county commission, and I think he did a lot in the state house that people really didn't see. And I think he was a great person.
Okay, he was a great person. There's no doubt about that.
I actually have the support of the Palizzo's family.
Excellent.
In my campaign, so
that's a good sign. Let's talk about the lottery bill. Are you for a lottery bill?
Again, you have to write the legislation in such a way that the money goes where it's supposed to go. One of the things that I have a problem with is it's being sold or pushed off as it's an education lottery, right? Okay, if your education...
Well, ours was not an education lottery.
Well, everybody who wants the lottery is saying, but it could fund education. Well, if you have, and I'm just going to use a number, say a $100,000 education budget, and then you incorporate the fact that you're going to pass a lottery, okay, your lottery grosses $100,000. If you say you're going to use that money for education, technically your education budget should now be $200,000. But what's going to happen if you don't write the legislation correctly is they'll replace that first $100,000 that was in the education budget, use it somewhere else, and then use the money that was raised through the lottery to just say, okay, you still have a $100,000 education budget.
Well, what's sadly sad about our state is that it's so earmarked that you cannot do that very effectively. Now, you can change it within the education bubble, but you can't all of a sudden send that over to prisons, for example. I wish you could. Are you for unifying the budget, taking the general fund and blending it in with education trust fund with certain floor and ceilings on it?
I would be more towards having, you know, a floor and ceiling on each individual departmental budget. Just working within the city government and looking at what the police department budget is and how certain monies come in to the police department, goes into the general fund, and then when we try to replace a wrecked car or replace equipment, now we have to fight to get that money when if the money was already allocated floor and ceiling, we'd be able to operate a little bit better.
Jay, I'm running out of time, and I want to make sure the audience knows how to get in contact with you. So tell the audience, give me a closing statement, but first tell them how, if they want to be involved in your campaign, they can connect with you.
Okay. My personal cell phone number is 334-318-9373.
What was slower?
334-318-9373.
Got it.
My campaign number is 334-657-KING. Which is 5464. It's sort of funny. And our campaign website is kingforhouse74.com.
In closing, very quickly, in like a minute, tell them why they need to vote for you.
Basically, out of every candidate running for State House, I'm the only one with 25 years of dedicated service to the city of Montgomery. I'm the only one with the law enforcement background that can be used to temper some of the legislation that is passed. And I have firsthand experience in putting criminals behind bars, protecting the kids that go to our schools, and also writing regulation. Like I said, I was actually recognized by CALEA for my ability to make it through the accreditation process for the police department.
Jay, I want to thank you for being here. Good luck, my friend. Good seeing you again. We're going to be back, final hour of the Dan Morris Show, right after this.
Your news talk place to be, the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
For the words of the-